chapter 4, but you can look, just keep your finger there in Romans chapter 4, and just flip over a few chapters to number 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it reads this way in the King James. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Interesting here, because the type and the shadow is out of the tabernacle, which is the brazen altar. And that was the first stop. That was the first process. It's really the second process, third process, because the animals were brought in, then they were prepared, and then the priest had to go to the brazen laver to wash their hands and their feet, to look into the mirrors, to see themselves, to take stock of who they were before they went any further in the process. But nonetheless, it is here that the process begins. And the process always begins with the sacrifice. Here, it is not someone else that is preparing the sacrifice for us. It's interesting here because Jesus has already made the supreme sacrifice, and that is for our sins. But now, here Paul talks about us making a sacrifice. And he says here to present your bodies as a living sacrifice so that you may prove out what is the very perfect will of God. And he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The point that I want to make is that the process of the sacrifice of the priest bringing forth the sins and ministering unto God was a process. They could not go into the holy place, or to even the most holy place, until the sacrifice was made in the outer courts at the brazen altar. And until that sacrifice was made, there could not be any priestly ministry. Jesus Christ has made it possible for us to have that priestly ministry because he became the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. But now he asks us here that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is holy and acceptable. It's our reasonable service. And what God is saying is that there's a process that we have to go through in our faith. Faith is a gift, but faith must be developed. Faith is a gift and faith works, but faith has to be developed. And how it has to be developed is realizing that it's not our faith. We have to present ourselves to God so that God can take what we give him. Now, I want you to understand here, there's a thin line between thinking that I'm always working. I'm working to gain faith. But faith is not something that you work for. Faith is something that you receive. Faith is a gift. If you're sweating in your faith, it's not faith. Amen? Circumstances will make you sweat, but faith doesn't make you sweat. Are you listening to me? The way to get rid of the works is let them be burnt up on the altar here. What we are presenting here at the altar is our works, ourselves. Because that's what becomes the issue. Okay? The issue becomes, y'all got to move this way. I love y'all, but somewhere we all going to get, so pastor don't have to stop. Amen? I know y'all like, you come in late, you like to sit on the outer courts, but I want you in the inner courts. Amen? No, you're all fine. Amen? But when I got to look over here, y'all making me work, get me out of faith. Amen? Amen? So here, what I want you to understand is the process that God is taking us through. And the process that God is trying to take us through is He's trying to develop our faith. And so this is in correlation in 1 Corinthians where He tells us that every man's work is going to be tried by fire. And I believe this is what He's talking about here. Because He's not talking about, God's not talking about your money. He's not talking about your toys. He's not talking about anything else. He's talking about you. Because everything you have is attached to you. It's attached to you as a person. Because everybody has something that you're attached to. If there are things that if God asked us to give up, you know, we say, oh, we give you anything, Lord. But what if God asked you for your child? Well, God would never do that. He wouldn't. Are you listening to me? God doesn't need your child. God doesn't need your money. But what God is dealing with for our faith to be developed, what gets in the way of our faith is the wood, the hay, the stubble in our life. That's what hinders the process of the faith because for him, the thing of it is that the more hay and, you know, it's like any fire. If you want to hotter fire, you got to have a lot of wood. How many know some of us got a lot of wood? How many know some of us got a lot of hay to burn? Amen? We got a lot of stubble to burn. Why is that, Pastor? Well, we got a lot of stuff in our life. And the thing of it is God is trying to process that stuff through our life so that He can bring about what? A pure faith in our life. But God can't do that as long as you have more dependence upon your wood, your hay, and stubble, because what we tend to do is we tend to be like the three little pigs. Amen? Because we think we're going to keep the wolf out away from us and him not coming in. But how many knows that no matter how well we build the house, when we build the house without God, we build it in vain. And those materials are the wood, the hay, and the stubble in our life. And so here, He's telling us, He said, look, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Bring your woody life. Bring your hay-filled life. Well, what's wood, hay, and stubble? That's your works. That's the stuff that you take pride in. That's the stuff that says, Laodicea church. Anybody remember the three things that they took pride in? One was wool. One was education. I don't know what the other one was. There was three things. And when he corrected them and said, he said, why? Because they took pride in those three things that they produced. And so they had this mindset, well, we don't need anybody else. We have this. We're self-sustaining. Laodicea was the wealthiest of all the churches. They had been through great crisis and they had built back up and they had money, they had sustenance, they had ability. And sometimes that's what gets in our way of development is our stuff. See? Because see, the enemy knows that, and just for an example, he knows that if he can keep you from giving, if he can keep you from tithing, if he can provide you with, he's a great provider. How many knows that Satan is a provider? That's right. He provides us with any excuse and reason and accusation we need to not to do something. And so he will provide us with that. Why is that, Pastor? Because he doesn't want that portal that gate open to your life. He knows, look, the majority, in the book of Revelations, I'm doing a study in Revelations right now. Do you know that when you look at it, it's astounding, which I've never seen before, which I've seen it, but not seen it. How many see it, but don't see it sometimes? And so when you begin to look in the book of Revelations, and I know some of you are caught up in the typology and the symbols and the beast and everything else, and you're caught up in all the goriness of it. But the book of Revelation is not just an apocalyptic book. It's so much more. But here, one of the things here that we see is that unless you have the mark of the beast, you can either buy or sell. And so he literally controls, that spirit literally controls the earth by what? By money. See, Satan knows that if he can control the money, he knows he can control the church. He don't have to get you to go out and sin. He just has to get you to learn to give so he can keep you in poverty. So that your needs are never met. See, here's another thing too. I'm not talking about becoming rich. I'm talking about, we get confused sometimes. We think because we don't have, a pot of gold that we're not blessed. Honey, you're blessed if you got clothes on your back. If you got gas in your car, you got food on your table. You got hot water when you turn it on in your house. You are blessed. You're blessed if you got shoes. Hello? Yeah, well, Pastor, they're Walmart shoes. Well, baby, nobody else knows. You don't need to tell them. Are you hearing me? See, we're not talking about those things. That's why we've got to somehow alleviate ourselves from the wood, the hay, and the stubble. So that we can allow God to do the work in our lives. See, He is going to test every work. He's going to try every work in your life. And He's going to test it by fire. And when the fire comes, and if there's gold, that's the kingdom of God, it cannot be shaken. You can melt gold, but you can't destroy gold. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? You can melt silver, but you can't destroy silver. But I want you to know, the moment that fire touches wood, touches anything in your life, and it disappears, and it's gone, and it's destroyed, honey, you need to raise your hands and thank God in Greyhound that it's gone. But no, we got to greet. Oh, Lord. Why did that person have to leave my life? I'll tell you why. Because they were thorn in the flesh. Because they weren't of faith. They weren't of the same tribe. They weren't of the same tongue. They weren't of the same people. Amen. God keeps trying to show us, quit mixing your faith with somebody who doesn't have no faith. Quit allowing yourself to be grouped in with people who don't believe the kingdom of God, who are always caught up in tragedy, who are addicted to drama. Who are addicted to one tragedy after the other tragedy. God's trying to take you through a process. And when the fire of God comes in and God is dealing with our life and He's taking us through the process, why? Because He is telling us, as Peter spoke to us, that what is happening here is that whatever is happening in our life and that test of fire, so that we may come forth as pure gold. There it is again. Amen? And gold has different standards. There's gold plated. It's what Walmart sells. Amen? Then I have a watch that's 24 karat gold. Amen? And that gold has been tried by the fire. And the impurities have been taken out of it. Because the higher the grade, the purer the gold. Amen? How many are hearing me tonight? So here he tells us, he says, present your bodies. Present your bodies. You notice here he doesn't say soul or spirit. Because what is the body? The body is the work of flesh. Everybody say flesh. Amen. Amen. Your flesh is that area. He's not talking about this. He's talking about your unrenewed mind. He's talking about the unrenewed soulish part of your life. When God's talking about flesh, he's not talking about that, this bone and flesh. He's talking about your meathead, your carnal mind, carnivorous, carniva, flesh. Amen? He said, you have a carnal mind. You are a meathead. Don't get offended. Amen? God's called me a meathead many a times. Because why? Well, because your mind has not went through the process and has not been renewed, because we come into this by the renewing of our mind. How are we renewed? Because God takes us through the process of changing our mind, and we are transformed that by the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. And how does God do that? He does that by fire. He does that by removing the fleshly parts, the wood, the hay, the stubble, those areas out of our life, because God will try it. You can be convinced. How many times have we been convinced about something and said to ourselves, this be the will of God? How many has ever believed something to be the will of God and you were so smart you decided to tell 20 other people? You were so convinced, this is the will of God. God spoke to me. And then the fire came through. Amen? Then you got to track back. Well, I'm sorry. I got out of the, you know, I was in my flesh. I'm sorry. Had a stupid moment. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I should have prayed about it. No, that's... How many hears what I'm saying? See, why is that? Well, because desires that are unsubmitted to God, desires unsubmitted to God, desires not processed, desires not taken through. We don't know if it's wood. We don't know if it's hay, it's stubble. Because if all you're used to is wood, hay, and stubble, and that's all you've ever built with, then you think that's the best you got. But God has something better for you. God's plan for you is not wood, hay, and stubble. That's not your future. Your future, and I want you to see something. Even though that there's wood, hay, and stubble, God is going to produce gold in your life. See, you're holding on to the wood, the hay, and the stubble, but God is saying, look, that's not where the wealth of it is. That's why the enemy is always playing your life, because you think your problem, like, oh no, here comes another problem. Here, I'm going to give you an equation tonight. Are you ready? Let's see if I wrote it down. My problems become opportunities when I use my faith to come through them. So what we have here is problem plus faith. Problem times faith equals an opportunity for God. So problem times faith, not plus, times. Problems times faith produces an opportunity for God to bring glory in your life. But when you have a problem and you don't engage your faith, then that's when you become discouraged and despondent, because you tried to do it without doing it in faith. See, as a believer, every problem in your life, whether you created it or whether it came without your knowledge at first, things that come our way, things, situations, circumstances that come into our life, you don't need to be discouraged. Even the mistakes you make. Hear me now. Even the mistakes that you make. If you learn that even the mistakes you made and the problems in your life, if you learn to engage your faith that God has given you. Well, Pastor, I don't have no faith. That's not true.
That's not true. I just read to you in the third verse, the 12th chapter here of the book of Romans, he's given unto every man the measure of faith. Come on, everybody say, God has given me a measure of faith. So it's not true I don't have faith. I have faith. I've been given faith. Faith even as a grain of mustard seed. But it's what I do with that faith. It's whether I take that faith and develop that faith. Well, how am I going to develop that faith? You're going to develop it by the problems that come to your life. If you don't engage the faith in your life, in the problems of your life, then it never becomes an opportunity. It becomes a disaster. It doesn't become a testimony. You have to have a test to have a testimony. They overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loving not their lives even unto death. Come on, folks. Hear me tonight. Stir your faith up. Stir your faith up and realize tonight you have been given faith. Here's the deal. You've been given faith at salvation. Faith is not something that you work for. You can't earn it. Here in Romans chapter 4, I'm going to even go to read it. You've read it before, you can go back and read it. But here in Romans chapter 4, you see where that Abraham was given faith. How many remember the story? God came to him and spoke to him. And his name was Abram, not Abraham. And when God spoke to him, he birthed something in him. Anybody remember what it was? It was a vision of what? He was going to own 1,000 McDonald's? What? What was it? Just stop there. I want you to hear that. He told him he was going to be the father of many nations. Oh, come on. Come on now. He literally began with the big dog. He brought the big guns out. He didn't bring a small thing out. He didn't say to him, Abraham, I'm going to give you faith for headaches. I'm going to give you faith to take care of other people's kids. That sometimes takes more faith. Unless they're grandkids. That takes a lot of faith. No, he tells them, I'm going to make you. Here's a man who doesn't even really know God. He hasn't even been circumcised yet. He hasn't even entered into covenant with God yet. Come on, you got to read your Bible. He hasn't even entered into covenant yet. He's not even entered into a relationship. But God saw him. Why? Because God said this whole thing has got to be by grace. It can't be what he's done. It wasn't Abraham coming to God. It was God coming to Abraham. I once was lost, but now I'm... It wasn't us going to God. It was God coming to us. You may have thought it was your big ideal to come and get saved, but it was the Holy Spirit. It was God who came to you, who sought you out, who was searching for you. Are you listening to me tonight? And because of that, God found him and God dealt with him. Why? Because of grace, unmerited favor. Come on, I'm making a point tonight. So here, God brings to him a promise. Amen? Not a little tiny promise. Amen? He brings him something. Now listen, at first, I don't think Abraham knows. Are you listening to me? I said, I don't think he knows. I don't think him and Sarai had even been married that long. And maybe if they weren't having kids, they had all the reasons. Well, maybe, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We're not having kids. Are you listening to me? But the longer they're married, after this promise, are you hearing me? After this promise, there ain't no baby. God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. God comes to us and God promises us. God has made certain promises. Now, you've got to first know that it's the promise of God. You got to know that it's the promise of God. There are certain promises in the book that are mine, that are yours. And God promises certain things. But I want you to also know there are certain promises in the book that don't belong to you. They don't belong to the Gentile church. They belong to the church. They belong to the nation of Israel. It don't have anything to do with us. It takes the ability to be able to rightly discern the Word of God. You can't take things and claim them as yours. But nonetheless, God speaks to Abraham. And God says to him, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he takes him outside and shows him the stars in the heavens and gives him a vision of the seaside and the sand and says, I'm going to make your children as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea. And Abram says, yeah, that sounds okay. That sounds awesome, dude. That's marvelous. Wow, you're going to make me the father of many nations. But I want you to notice something here. God doesn't give him a preview. You know when they bring shows out on television? They give you a preview to bring you back next week. So they show you what's going to happen next week to whet your appetite. Oh, ooh, I've got to see if they die. They're not going to die. They're the stars of the show. Are you hearing me? But that's called a preview of next week. The only thing God says to Abraham is, I'm going to make you a father. Wow, this is awesome. Let's go, baby. Just got to leave your land. Got to leave your family. Go into a land that you've never been before. Hello? See, God always, when God speaks to you about the process of faith, He's always going to take you someplace you've never been. But if He takes you and you keep coming back home, then you got to stop and say, now I know why this isn't working. If you keep going back to your fishing nets, if you keep going back to what is convenient to your flesh, if you keep going back to your old life and your old attitudes and your old mentalities, then you don't have to wonder why faith is not working, because faith doesn't work when you doubt. Amen? How many hears it? See, I always believed that when I married Karen, the reason why I had an offer, I wanted to go to Bible college out in California. That was no big deal for me because I had already been to California as a teenager. Never sweated a bullet. Are you hearing me? When there's nothing for me, now I'm saved. Then I wasn't saved. Are you hearing me? And so I had a vision. I knew there was a lack in me, and I thought, wow, here's this cool Bible school out in California. I'm dumb. They got knowledge. Sounds like a perfect ideal to me. We're married. We have no attachments. Karen was like, oh, we're going, no way. I'm moving to California with you. Not you. Are you hearing me? So we moved 10 minutes away from her mama. Are you hearing me? See, I contend that was always a mistake. See, just because you move out of the house don't mean you moved away from mama. Just because you moved out of the house from daddy doesn't mean you've moved out of the house from daddy. Just because you moved out of someplace doesn't mean that you've left that thing. It takes more than doing that. It takes the fact of you going someplace that you've never been before. And I contend, and Karen will tell you, I've always contended that was a mistake. I believe our life would have taken a completely different turn, but God had to take it. Sometimes you take a wrong turn and you've got to come the long way back around, but God always brings you back to the path that He wants to. But if you learn to exercise your faith, I believed at that time God wanted us to move in faith. And I was such a dumb kid that it wouldn't have mattered. See, I wouldn't have cared that we lived on beans and weenies, and we didn't have anything. Why? Because that's who I was. I wasn't afraid to be destitute. I didn't have nothing. Are you listening to me? But see, God always takes you someplace in your life, in your mind, that you've never been before. Because if you don't go there, your faith can't increase. You have to go into a land that you've not journeyed. See, you think, well, it didn't work. I went, and there's no baby right now. It's not working out. God, where's the sand? Where's the stars? Come on now. You know I'm preaching the truth to you tonight, don't you? How many missed me? Man, nobody. Where's the stars? Where's the sand? Where's the promise? The promise has to be taken by faith, not by your works. See, God needed to show Abraham, this thing has to be by faith. You want to know why, Betty? I'll tell you why. Because God saw you in the future. It wasn't just about Abraham. He was trying to establish him as the father of our faith. And it had to be by grace. So it had to be through grace that he could receive it by faith. Why? So that you and I could inherit the promise. That it wouldn't be by the fact of his works or by the law that he received it, but it was by faith. And because of it, he was the father of faith, and he was birthing something and starting something, because that's why even when he stuck his finger in the stew to try to make it taste right and be right, Ishmael, it was wood. It was hay. It was stubble. And the fire came. Are you listening to me? And I can tell you this tonight, is this, that when you make those mistakes, don't expect God to come down and to kick him out of the camp. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to cut it off. You're going to have to cut that relationship off. You're going to have to stop it. You're going to have to say no. You're going to have to look at it and say, you can't be a part of my life because your wood, your hay and stubble. You are causing my faith to decrease. You're always draining me. You are a vampire. You are a zombie. You're trying to eat my brain out. You're trying to take me that I become the living dead. I don't want to be the living dead. I want to be the resurrection. I want to be the resurrected one. I want to live in that resurrected life. And you can't, as long as you got somebody and something that is always sucking the life out of you and you're not progressing in your faith. Amen. Is this good or not? Amen. Amen. So I've discovered the faith given to me at salvation had to be taken and developed for every situation I encountered. See, God gives you the measure of faith. And then God says, now you've got to take and develop that faith. We want faith in our life, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How are we going to have faith when we never crack open the book? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I told somebody the other day, I've been doing this for 4 decades. And if just circumstance, sometimes just like circumstance and being on vacation, and I had a lot of time to spend alone with God, and it was great, it was wonderful. But no matter what I did on Thursday, It's not going to take care of me on Friday. And what I did on Friday ain't going to take care of me on Saturday. Amen, honey. Faith ain't a bank. You don't store up faith. You use faith. It's like manna. You have to use it every day, because if you don't, it's not going to be there for tomorrow. But using that faith on Thursday, you know that God was faithful on Thursday, God was faithful on Wednesday, God's faithful on Tuesday, and He's been faithful. God will be faithful on Friday. But I can miss a couple of days and I can feel it. I can miss a couple of days of not, I'm talking about concentrated prayer. I mean, I'm always in a state of prayer. But I'm talking about concentrated. I'm talking about where God has my attention, where God has me still. Amen? That's the hardest prayer. When you have to be still. Amen? You're not bouncing around. You're not caught up in all your works, all your wood, your hay and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble is another area there. To where those become distracting, because, see, what is in your mind is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going and gathering, working to gather. Because what do you got to do? If wood and hay and stubble is there, you've always are working to stoke the fire. Always gathering to stoke the fire. Always working to make it work. Always gathering to make heat, to cook, to do everything you need. You got to gather. You got to work. You got to gather. You got to work. And so your life becomes a series of works. Instead, a series of wealth in our life, because what he says is that you need to discover. But sometimes you can't see the gold and the silver in your life because it's covered up by all the wood, the hay, and the stubble in our lives. And God wants you to discover the value that's in your life. So some of the things that are coming to your life, the problems and the situations that are in your life, it's there for God to burn those things up and for you to release them. Don't stand there and grieve over the ashes. Because wood and hay and stubble come to ash. And here's the beauty of it. He said that he would give you beauty. Are you hearing me tonight?
Amen.
He will give you beauty for your ashes. There's no value in it. There's no trading power in it. Because ash is the evidence that the wood, the hay, the stubble, the works in your life have come to an end. And there's nothing to try to form. You can pour water on it. You can try to form something out of it. But it doesn't even have the consistency to even make a good mud ball. All ash will do is make you dirty. That's all it does. Are you listening to me? But I am telling you that many times we can't see the gold, the silver, the precious things in our life, because it's covered up with our works. It's covered up with our labors. It's covered up with us constantly struggling. Faith doesn't struggle. Come on, say it tonight. Faith doesn't struggle. He gave Abraham the faith to begin the journey. Amen? How? Through the vision. He gave him the vision. God gives you a vision in the beginning. How many got a vision of your life as a believer in the beginning? Amen? You say, well, no, I didn't get no vision. Well, then we need to talk. I tell people all the time, there's got to be a story. Where's the story? If somebody tells me, I've been born again, or they say, I'm a Christian, but they have no story. You got to have a story. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, you got to have a story about the day that Jesus came into your life. How many remember the day that Jesus came in to your life? Raise your hand. Well, if you can't remember that day, how many remember the day you were married? Yeah. Some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't want to remember. I'm trying to forget. Are you hearing me? It doesn't make any difference. Don't be obstinate. Amen. It doesn't make any difference. I'm talking about that you remember. If you remember that day, wouldn't you remember the day you got married to Jesus? It's a memorial. And we need to have that. And if there's no story, when somebody tells me they don't have a story, somebody told me one time, well, I don't remember. What do you mean you don't remember? Jesus came by. It's like blind Bartimaeus. How many things that blind Bartimaeus wrote that down? That was forever in his brain. He didn't have to go write it down on stone. He didn't have to write it down on a piece of paper. How many knows? He knew the day, the hour, the time, the road, the place. Every time he walked past that road, every time he walked past that place, he remembers that was the day that he received his sight and that his life changed there forever. You can't tell me that when you meet Jesus and he comes by and he touches your eyes, the spiritual eyes of your life, and opens your eyes and awakens your life, that you cannot say, man, I remember the day that Jesus came by. So what happens, Pastor? Well, what happens is this. He gave us the faith. He gave us the faith to begin the journey. Amen. He gave Abram the faith to begin the journey. He put it in his heart by birthing the vision of the sand and the stars. He's the author, amen, of our faith. He's the author. But if he began the good work in you, then he becomes also the finisher. He will bring it to completion. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Is that Abraham did not waver against what God had promised him. And I'm saying to you tonight, don't waver against the promise of God in your life. Don't waver. Don't let the accuser of the brethren come to you and tell you that somehow the division is being diminished and that there's no way that God can do it in your life. You've got to stand up and you've got to declare in your life, yes, God is going to do this thing in my life. Why? Because God promised. He gave me the faith to begin. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. So whatever God has begun in you, God will bring to completion. The problem is that you're getting your destiny confused with your journey. And we all have those moments, those lapses of morality, as Abram did. Amen? With the king. And then with Hagar. How many hears it? See, Abram couldn't have dealt with taking Isaac to the mount. He couldn't even handle the pressure of coming into a strange land and what to do with his wife. Do you hear me? That was a moral decision. What did it reveal? It revealed to us that his character had not been developed. His faith had not been fully developed. See, God was bringing him to a place. God was trying to develop his character. God was trying to develop his faith on the inside of him. You got to quit looking at your life as a series of problems and begin to add your faith and begin to multiply the faith in your life. Begin to exercise, grow your faith in your life. Mix it with your problems. And when you mix faith with your problems, then God will bring it and cause it to be an opportunity for glory and for a testimony. You say, but it isn't happening. Then you got to keep stirring your faith in. You got to keep adding your faith in. You've got to add your faith. How? Amen? Look with me if you will. Lord, what time is it? Oh, I've got an hour. Pastor Karen's not here. What can I say? One of the things here is that you can use as a reference is in Philippians chapter 4. Think on these things, but I want you to go over to Peter with me. Eric, will you give me a couple of Kleenexes, brother? Second Peter. Thank you, my brother. Second Peter. Look there with me. Chapter 1. Amen. Shut me down, brother. Here I go. If Grayson was awake, he'd laugh. Guess what? The entire time I was gone on vacation, up in those mountains, my sinuses never bothered me. I come back here to Wilkesboro. Hello, sinuses. Look what it says here in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, what? add to your faith. So what can we do with our faith? We can add. How many can add? Amen. We may not be able to divide, but we can add. Amen. We can do simple math here. He says what? He says, and besides this, giving all what? Diligence, attention, focus, energy. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be what? What did Abraham do? Peter is taking off from the story of Abraham. Because what was God doing in his life? What is God doing in your life? You're looking at your situations and your problems, and you want to equate them as unfair, and I don't want to deal with this, and I hate this, and why do I have to deal with this? But you've got to take what you have, the lemons in your life, and you've got to learn to take and make them lemonade. You've got to begin to squeeze those things in your life to make something out of it. Only God can do that. God gives you the opportunity. Amen? God gives you the opportunity. He says, choose today, either life or death. And tell me, everything that comes to your life, every issue that comes to your life, amen? You're either going to want to curse it, or you're going to want to bless it. But see, here's the problem. We say, well, how can I bless this mess? My life's a mess. The problem is a mess. You want me to bless it, Pastor? Yeah, bless it. Bless the heck out of it. Amen. 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 I told a businessman down in Asheville this past week, I told him, I said, that's the key. He's a successful contractor that God has brought into my life. And he was telling me about his business of how that he does certain things. He does porches and does sun porches and decks and things like that. He does all outside, never goes on the inside. He said, I decided to do that. And I said, it is the key that I've learned in life. When you find your niche, kick the snot out of it. That's what the Bible says, that whatever your gift is, you've got to discover your gift, and then you've got to kick the snot out of that thing. You've got to hit it, kick it, throw it, punch it, shake it. Whatever you've got to do, you've got to give yourself to that gift. If you are not giving yourself to that gift that God has blessed you with in your life, because God has given to every man the measure of faith, for what? That's what Romans 12 is all about. Because go down further in the chapter there, what is he talking about? He's talking about serve us in the church. He's talking about serving the community. He's talking about serving the church. See, folks, God's given you a gift. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, yeah, you do. The problem is that you are always looking at the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and you can't see the gold and the silver. But that's okay. It's okay. You want to know why it's okay? Because God is going to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And how does he do it? Because your faith is tested. Well, I don't want my faith tested. I won't be left alone. Well, if you just refuse to go through it, that's what you're doing. But guess what's happening? You're not growing. And if you're not growing, that means you're always viewing everything with a cynical and a critical eye. There's no joy. What does he say in Isaiah? I will draw joy from the wells of my salvation. Amen? You can't draw from something you don't have. Amen? You want to make sure if you drop your bucket, there's some cool, refreshing water that's down there. This message is not for condemnation. It's Sometimes, Pastor, you make me feel so guilty. No, I'm not making you feel guilty. I'm facing you with your situation. That's what a pastor does. A pastor doesn't come to you and point you out, stand you up and say, hey, folks, I just need to know right here. Here's a wimp right here. Here's a wimpy Christian right here. They can't do nothing right. They're always, you know, well, nothing works out for me. My life is so miserable. You know, everybody does good except me. Wimpy Christian. How many are glad that pastor doesn't pick you up by the nape of the neck and say, hey, right here. Right here. This is the one right here. They don't tithe. I wonder if that'd be a process. You think we could this Sunday? I just start walking across the top of the seats, right to people, and just snatch them out and say, non-tither. Lazy Christian. Don't read the Bible. Don't pray. But see, God doesn't do that. I don't have to do that. See, I'm the gasoline. I ain't the fire. I'm the gasoline. I don't want to be the fire. Too much responsibility. But I don't mind being the gasoline. That's why sometimes I pour it on. What do you know why? Because I want you to grow. Because some of you have been stuck. Stuck in your faith. Stuck in your life. Stuck in your ways. Stuck in your faith. And God wants to shake you to come out of that place and awaken your faith to a new place and quit blaming your circumstance and everything in your life. The wood, the hay, and stubble is not your issue. God is going to burn that up in your life. All you have to do is not grieve over the wood, the hay, and the stubble and the bonfire in your life. You will either use that wood and hay and stubble as, yeah, get some marshmallows out, baby. This is over with. Or you're going to stand there like, it was such nice wood. I love my hay. My stubble was the best in Wilkes County. And I had more wood than anyone else. I had stacks and stacks of wood. And now here comes God. God's always the cosmic killjoy. Why is God always messing with my life, Pastor? He's not messing with your life. He loves you. He loves you enough to pursue you. This isn't about you. This is about how much God loves you. You're looking at this from the wrong side, from the wrong perspective. You're looking from the other side of the veil. You need to step over through the veil and to see the glory of God. You need to see the grace that's involved here. You need to see how much God loves you and is pursuing you to bless your life. Quit being angry. Quit being mad. Quit grieving. Begin to rejoice in the fact that God cares enough about you. If you're going through a test in your life, you need to rejoice. You need to give thanks in all things. Give thanks, not because life is hard right now, but give thanks that God is giving you an opportunity to walk through this, and that in your faith it will grow and increase, and by increasing your faith and by adding to it, you will produce a great faith in your life. Amen. Look what he says here. Man, it's $1,000 message. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Wow! In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. They don't have the ability to have vision. Amen? I want you to look at this tonight. When you are adding to your faith, look at it this way. Adding to your faith is like a scaffolding. Amen? when we did this, there ain't no ladder. There is no way. Now, Edgar, I've seen him get up on a ladder that would scare Jesus. I mean, he climbs that thing like he is a monkey. I mean, up he goes. His guys, man, standing there like, you know, carrying on a conversation, standing on the other side of my garage, on the other side of my house. And I mean, it is a far way. And it's not into water. It's concrete. But we had to get up and we had to get those tongs out because they were falling. Because, you remember, the roof we used to have? That God brought a new roof? That stuff's all by faith. See? But I want you to hear me tonight. Listen now. We had to get something to get up to what we needed to accomplish. So we got this mobile scaffold. Amen? And you have to look at it. Now, we also had what we had a stationary scaffold. And what we had to do is that we had to build it section by section. But you couldn't go to the second section until you finish the first section. Then what you had to do is you had to take those boards and you had to put them up, and then somebody had to hand you the next section to put them up, and you couldn't go any higher until you finished that section of scaffolding. You didn't do that in 2 minutes. Are you hearing me? And I guarantee you, you didn't put... One time I was helping my dad put in insulation in our house. And so there was nothing up there, and there was planks, but it was dark up there, and I couldn't see. And so I was trying to move across these planks, and my dad took a piece of wood, thinking that, I don't know what my dad was thinking, but it was a one by. Let me tell you something. I was a lot smaller then, but when I stepped on that one by, gravity immediately took over. And I went through the ceiling that we were trying to fix. Are you hearing me? That piece of wood was insufficient to keep me where I was at and to be able to finish the job. When you're doing that, you had to put 2x6s or 2x8s on that scaffolding to hold the weight that is there. And you don't want to go to the next level until it's finished. And some of us are impatient and we want to get to the top. And I am telling you that God gives you faith for the season that you're in. God didn't give him faith the first time around. He seeded the faith in Abraham. He seeded faith in his life. For what? For the day that would come to where not only would he birth his son. See, he thought it was all over with when his son was birthed. How many knows it wasn't over with? Because the great test was not his son coming forth, but when God came to him and said, "Will you give your only begotten son? The very prize, the very thing that I promised you, are you willing to give it up?" In that story, there's not even a hint of doubt in Abraham's testimony or his words. Why was that, Pastor? Because he had taken time to add to his faith. And when it came time, his life was not barren of faith. And he was not unfruitful in his faith. And so when God takes us to that place, and God has each and every one of you in that different place of your life, don't be anxious to move to another level. Finish where you're at. And God will take you. Why? Because he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Because if you're always doing it, then your mentality is going to be by works and not by grace. Amen? Can I just read you my little side notes that I had? That God gave me, and I'm sure he wanted me to give them to you tonight. We thought that the decision and the decisions of our life thwarted the plans of God. We thought, it'll never happen. The vision, the promise will never happen. But I want you to know that what God begins in your life, God's going to finish. And you've got to hold confidence to that. That whatever God has began in your life. But pastor, I've tried to deal with it. It doesn't matter. God will stay with you until it's taken care of. It's not that others necessarily have greater faith. Are you listening to me tonight? See, you look at other people and you think, man, they have great faith. It's not because they have greater faith. It's because God didn't call you to do that. See, God will give you faith to do what He's called you to do. But if you don't even know what God's called you to do, see, let me tell you something. The stuff, the wood, the hay and stuff you're doing right now, wood, hay and stubble that you're doing right now, that doesn't take faith. You just got to have the ministry of gathering. See, many of you know what hard work is. I look around this room and I can tell you, you're some of the hardest working people I know because I've worked side by side with you. You're some of the hardest working people in the world. But God wants you to come into a greater faith. And faith is not something you can work for. And you can't walk in somebody else's faith. Whatever you're walking through, wherever you're at, God has given you the faith, the measure of faith. Now it's up to you to add to your faith. Are you hearing me? How, Pastor? Well, because every one of those things in 2 Peter are situations to where they are character development to develop the fruit. What does he say? Neither barren or unfruitful. Developing the fruit of the Spirit conditions you for great faith. Amen? Amen. Well, did you get something from the Word tonight? Amen? Amen. I may stay on this for a while, but